Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. Our conversation about the theology of Robert Schuller continues. Dr. Kim Riddlebarger is our guest. Feel free to join us. 1-800-730-2727. Now, if you're getting a busy signal, just keep trying, because in mere moments, we're going to be freeing up some phone lines. 1-800-730-2727. Or if you prefer not to sit on a busy signal or keep trying, use our email address. It's right here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Kim Riddlebarger joins us here for the second hour as well to take your questions and comments on the theology of Robert Schuller. He is pastor of Christ Reformed Church in Anaheim, California, and co-host of the national radio program, The White Horse Inn. Kim, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Todd.
Let's go straight to the phones. Let's begin in this second hour with Laura in Hazelwood, Missouri. Laura, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc. Hi, Laura. Let's talk with Crystal then. She calls from Portage, Michigan. Crystal's on the line. Crystal, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Crystal.
Good morning. It's 12:05 in the morning here. I was listening to the radio, and you were talking about Dr. Schuller being nice about not saying the word sin. I think, in a way, I kind of agree with him, and then in another way, I kind of agree with you. When a person comes to Christ and is born again, they think in back of their minds, I have Jesus in my heart now. I am now perfect. And Jesus made it very, very clear in the book of Matthew that we are born of flesh and that we are very imperfect. But I think when they go to the altar, they forget that part of the Bible. And then, therefore, when they do make a mistake and they do sin, they feel so awful and so bad that even, sadly to say, a lot of Christians fall back or drop out, so to speak, because they feel bad. And I think what Dr. Schuller was trying to get across is, yes, you can fail, and Jesus will still love you, but you have to recognize that you are not perfect and that you need to repent and come back to Christ each and every time, because Jesus said he will forgive us forever and ever. And that, I think that's what he was trying to get across. That's at least what I was trying to, what I was reading into what he was trying to say and what you were trying to say.
Crystal, before I let you go, have you ever heard Dr. Schuller use the term repent on the Hour of Power?
I have seen him a few Sundays on television. I really don't watch his program. If I come across it, I might listen to a few. I'm a Baptist, and he's more toward the Catholic type, or so I'm more interested in the Catholic type. But I have heard him mention about repentance in some of his sermons that he has had.
Crystal, thank you very much for the call. Kim, your response to how Crystal tries to sort this out with Robert Schuller's theology.
I think Crystal did a very good job of giving him the benefit of the doubt, and I think her explanation was far better than his. If that's what he's saying, Crystal says it better. Of course, anyone who enters a pulpit realizes that you're going to have a congregation filled with bruised reeds and smoldering wicks, people whose sin has burdened them to the point that they're about to break. They have some sin in their life they can't stop. They've done something really awful. Their past is really bad. They've tried to go to so-and-so seminar on prayer, and they're worse off than they were before because they've tried it, and they don't pray as much as they did before. They feel guilty. All of that. Our congregations are filled with people bearing the burden of sin. And it's our job as ministers of the gospel to get in the pulpit and stand in the place of Christ and declare to our congregations, go in peace, your sins are forgiven. And we do that by telling people that Christ fulfilled all the obligations of God's commandments through his own perfect obedience, and that when he died on the cross, he died for all sin, and therefore everyone in the congregation who's feeling ashamed needs to hear that Christ has died for every sin they've ever committed, and he imputes to them freely his own perfect faultless righteousness, so God sees them as though they were as righteous as Christ. And that's what sinners need to hear. And the only way they're going to hear it is if you use biblical language and biblical terms and not try and tell them, look, the problem is, as Schuller said, you don't have faith in yourself. The last thing a struggling sinner needs to hear, ironically, is the problem is you don't have faith in yourself. You need to have a better view of tomorrow. Well, thanks a lot. You know, I'm here holding on by my fingernails because I can't think about tomorrow because my sin is so awful today. And that's where Schuller's theology breaks down. It's also going to break down, I want to quote our brother Rod Rosenblatt again, it also breaks down when 9/11 comes. And all of a sudden, be happy attitudes sounds pretty frail and pretty cheesy in the face of 3,000 deaths in a terrorist attack, in the face of a hostile religion and all the political upheaval that goes with it. That theology doesn't answer the tsunami question. It doesn't answer the 9/11 question. And in hard times, there won't be many Robert Schullers on television.
Heidi's calling from Minneapolis. Heidi, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, thank you for having this on as a topic.
Sure.
I think it's just so important, and I know so many people who like that feel-good message, but that doesn't lead you to salvation. I was wondering if your guest could comment a little. I missed the first 15 minutes, so I hope I'm not repeating anything. But Schuller tends to, I'm trying to remember how he phrased it, he grabs onto whatever's popular at the moment. I know he had one of the Judds on with her book. He has other people, so if it's, you know, mysticism is the big thing or yoga is the big thing, it's just, whatever popular trend, even things that aren't Christian, he tries to kind of bring in. I don't know if I'm phrasing that.
No, I think you're making yourself very clear, Heidi, and thank you very much. I remember, as an example of what Heidi's talking about, right near the fall of the Berlin Wall, Mikhail Gorbachev was there among the flowers trying to argue that he was an atheist, and Dr. Schuller was doing his best to argue that good old Mikhail wasn't an atheist in spite of his objections. Mm-hmm. So what about this bringing in the thing that's in the headlines or the thing that's selling in the bookstores?
Well, if you televise your Sunday service, and then, you know, with radio or television, you know, it's a funny thing. As soon as you flip the on switch, the meter starts running. And television airtime is very expensive. Radio airtime is less so. Once you start broadcasting, the meter starts running. And the only way people are going to send money to your ministry is if you keep them watching your program. And the only way to keep people watching their program are to have the current celebrities in, because people will turn it in out of curiosity to see what they're going to say. Todd, I bet you don't watch Schuller very often, but I bet you remember the Gorbachev thing because it was so Gorbachev's going to be at the Crystal Cathedral. Same with me with the Tommy Lasorda thing. You know, Lasorda and this big Dodger in the sky. So first of all, I'm a Yankee fan, so the whole big Dodger in the sky thing is just wrong anyway. But to have Lasorda, you know, in your pulpit, I remember it. And you know, celebrities work for all the wrong reasons, but we remember two of them for that very reason. That's why they do it, because it makes an impact on us and we don't forget. And that's the wrong reason to have these men in their pulpit.
Heidi, stay on hold. I'm going to send you a copy of our entire interview with Dr. Schuller we had earlier this week, and thanks for the call. Does this also explain, perhaps, why in a different venue, different pastor, Bill Hybels of Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, they have leadership summits on a regular basis, I think semi-annually there at Willow Creek, and it is not unusual to have celebrities there as well?
Well, that's exactly right. We have the Legacy of the Billy Graham Crusade, where you had the latest celebrity in Orange County, California. Here we have the Harvest Crusades at Calvary Chapel, and they'll have all the Christian celebrities, the Christian musicians, and it's a draw. People will come to hear them, and you know, you learn to hear some ex-NFL player, you know, tell how Jesus revolutionized his running game, made him a better blocker, a better receiver. You know, you get that whole thing, and people want to come and hear that. That's the hook. And this is, I think, at the end of the day, the question that we have to ask Dr. Schuller and the others who bring in the celebrities. This is a bait-and-switch operation. We're bringing people in to draw attention. In this culture, we have the cult of celebrity. People want to see their favorite people. They'll go to Crystal Cathedral. They'll go to one of these other places because so-and-so is going to be there. The buzz goes up. People come. Ministers of the gospel have no business attracting people on the basis of celebrities. We are to preach the gospel. We're to organize our services, you know, under biblical authority. In my system, Todd, that's an elder-run church. You have a church order that puts a biblically-based church government in place, so someone's controlling what you do, and you're made to be faithful to your confessions and to the biblical text. And we're to be my call, frankly, what I do is to stand in the place of Christ and tell sinners that Christ is the solution to their problems. That's my job. I'm to declare the forgiveness of God in Christ to sinners. That's what I do for a living. And I'm not a motivator. I'm not a pep rally leader. And I'm not somebody who uses a bait-and-switch thing to get celebrities in to attract an audience. I just don't think we can do that. Now, all of that being said, where I do think Schuller's onto something, and I think there's a corrective to this, is the idea that if you make a negative first impression, you turn people off. Schuller's right about that. One of our guys, Francis Schaeffer, had some very interesting insights in an essay as part of his book, The God Who Is There.
About 20 seconds here, Kim.
Called Pre-Evangelism is No Soft Option. And so every Christian ought to be in the business of making good first impressions with non-Christians to soften some of this blow, to communicate the categories of law and gospel and so on. That's right, but neither can we remove the Christian faith to make it palatable to people either.
Dr. Kim Riddleberger is our guest pastor of Christ Reformed Church in Anaheim, California, co-host of the national radio program, The White Horse Inn. When we come back, right back to the phones, your questions and your comments. Stay tuned.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Peter Scare on how Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is unique.
We take seriously the words of our Lord, you know, that we are to be called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are faithful to the Scriptures, and we are faithful to word and sacrament. We are both evangelical and Catholic. We are evangelical in that we believe the Word of God to be true, that we believe the Bible, and we're not going to back down from it. At the same time, we're Catholic. We recognize that this church has been around for 2,000 years. We also recognize that God is continuing to work through means, that He's working through the water of baptism, He's working through the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we take seriously our mission to be a light and salt to the earth.
For more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, go to their website, ctsfw.edu, or call them at 1-800-481-2155. We're talking about the theology of Robert Schuller. Dr. Kim Riddleberger is our guest. He is co-host of the national radio program, The White Horse Inn. You can check out their website by going first to ours, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, look over on the left, you'll see a link. When you click on that, you'll find Dr. Mike Horton and The White Horse Inn as well, if you scroll down. Now, if you'd like to know how to receive The White Horse Inn's publication, Modern Reformation Magazine, call our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. We'll give you the phone number and the mailing address for Modern Reformation Magazine and The White Horse Inn, 1-800-737-0172. Back to the phones. Mike in Kansas City, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, hi, Todd. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And first, I wanted to say that I'm a regular monthly supporter to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the reason I say that is because, you know, I would like to encourage or even ask all the listeners out there right now if they would seriously consider becoming a monthly supporter, because in my opinion, this is one of the most valuable ministries in Christendom. So I want to thank you for that, Todd.
Well, thank you, Mike, and thanks for your support.
Yeah, and both you gentlemen, I really appreciate the topic. I had three points I wanted to make, and the first point I wanted to make had to do with it seems that there's such a great confusion concerning dual kingdom theology, and you mentioned law and gospel. It's pretty much the same thing, I guess, but one of the things that I noticed that Robert Schuller and others do, he talks about a self-image that leads to shame. And, you know, within the civil realm, a good self-image is very important for our success. However, if you confuse that and you think that within the heavenly realm a good self-image is going to get you anywhere, you're in big trouble. Because, you know, within the civil kingdom, one is better than another. For instance, a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen is better than a criminal within the civil realm. but not within the heavenly kingdom. Within the heavenly kingdom, we are all equally corrupt.
Very good point, Mike. What were the other two points that you wanted to make?
Well, Galatians chapter 3 lays that out very clearly, I think, is that the law is designed to make us guilty, so we will come to Christ. The next point I wanted to make had to do with, Robert Schuller said that preaching sin leads people to believe that there's not as good as those doing the preaching. You know, that's one of the questions you ask him. But when you ask him if he kept the Ten Commandments perfectly, then he confessed his sin. And what was his sin? His sin was that sometimes he lies in order to keep from hurting someone else's feelings. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I struggle to keep all of the Ten Commandments. And so that makes me feel like that Robert Schuller believes, or at least I feel like, that I'm not as good as Robert Schuller.
Interesting point.
Yeah. And then the third thing I wanted to talk about was the whole idea about you must think positively in order to become successful. This really reeks of the basis for the word faith movement that seems to dominate Christianity today. And I wonder if you all could comment on that.
Three great questions and comments there, Mike. And again, thank you for your support. Thanks for your call as well. Stay on hold. I'm going to send you a copy of that interview that we did, 24 minutes long, with Dr. Robert Schuller earlier this week. All right, let's deal with these one at a time. He talks about the confusion of the civil and the heavenly realms, and he makes a great point. That is, yeah, in the workaday world, self-esteem is a pretty necessary thing. And in the workaday world, Schuller's creed, if it's going to be, it's up to me, is kind of the way the business world works. Your thoughts, Kim?
I agree wholeheartedly. I hold the two kingdoms. I believe that a reform guy is not a theonomist. Yep, two kingdoms. I think he's absolutely correct. I think that there's, and I think that's what Schuller, why he is as successful as he is. I think he does speak in many ways to people in the city of man and speaks to them in ways in which are beneficial. But that misses the gospel entirely.
But did he miss his calling then? Would he be better suited with his message to be kind of the erstwhile Dr. Phil or Tony Robbins, who can help you unlock the giant within or your own potential?
I don't know personally what his calling is, but I think you have the question I have. His interests go to psychology. His master's thesis is a topical institute to Calvin's is a topical index to Calvin's Institutes. He knows Reformed theology well, and yet everything he says is tainted through the lens of pop psychology. And he's very well read in that field, and he may have indeed been a better psychiatrist than a theologian. I think he really is interested and has insights in that area, but it is a confusion of the kingdom.
All right. Now, Mike also says that he detected in our interview a holier-than-thou attitude on the part of Robert Schuller, especially when it comes to whether or not he keeps the commandments, something he chided me for on more than one occasion in those 24 minutes.
Yeah, I don't. What do you say to that? If you answer that, you know, it's one of those, can God make a rock so big he can't lift it, or have you stopped beating your wife yet kind of questions. Because if you say that Dr. Schuller was, you know, being self-righteous, then you're accusing him of the very thing he's accused you of doing. So it's one of those dilemmas he set up that I think we just avoid. And answer it by saying, look, the law condemns me. I'm not going to worry about Schuller. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I haven't kept the law. And even as our catechism says, even the holiest in this life have only the smallest beginning of the obedience that's required by the law of God. So I'll quote the same catechism that Schuller supposedly believes.
Now, this I found somewhat mystifying, and you mentioned in the first hour that you thought he had mischaracterized my position when I talked about the preaching of law and gospel, and he
mm-hmm.
came back kind of characterizing it as fundamentalist holier-than-thou preaching. Why is it, and this happened more than once in the course of the conversation, that he did not appear to be able to hear, and I freely admitted to my sin, my shortcoming with regard to the Ten Commandments, how I, before those commandments and its perfect standard, stand condemned and estranged from God. There was no I have it, you don't have it.
Right.
Truly one sinner approaching another sinner, one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. What is in this category that he places over everything that makes it so he apparently cannot hear someone admitting to their own sinfulness?
Well, The one of the brick walls we ran into him when we talked to him in our interview, this has been a number of years ago, one of our first big White Horse Inn shows was to have Dr. Schuller on, and we ran into the same kind of thing where you couldn't chip away at that. I do think part of the problem with Dr. Schuller is he is so successful and has been at this so long that we're the young bucks who are wet behind the ears and don't know what we're talking about. And I do think there is a fair bit of that in his approach to things. What do we know? We've only been at this for X number of years. He's been doing it for 40 years. Who are we to tell him what to do? There is some of that in his approach. I also think his grid is, you know, everything that ministers say has to be positive. And I'm certain what he's reacting against is the hellfire brimstone kind of fundamentalism or the kinds of things you see on the Christian right, the Don Wildman, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson kind of thing where there's the legislation morality, the too much involvement in politics, trying to close the saloon and the strip joint, you know, that kind of thing, this moral activism that makes people feel like Christians are self-righteous busybodies who are trying to, you know, involve themselves in the area. I think that's what Schuller sees and is responding to, and he doesn't make a distinction between that and Reformation categories at all. So anybody who speaks of sin must be some kind of a fundamentalist and must be, therefore, turning people off immediately.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Very quickly, with about 30 seconds before our break, and then we'll go back to the phones on the other side, Mike also asked about any possible connection affinity for the word faith movement, a prosperity gospel in Schuller's theology.
Intellectually, there is no connection, but culturally there is. Americans are incurably optimists. We believe that people are basically good. We live in a land that is filled with bounty and plenty, and that is the common soil that from which word faith theology and from which Schuller self-esteem theology spring.
Dr. Kim Riddlebarger is our guest. We're talking about the theology of Robert Schuller. We've got a couple open phone lines, and we'll get to the other phone calls here on the other side of this break. 1-800-730-2727. We'd also be happy to respond here on the air to your in-studio emails, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our call-in number again, 1-800-730-2727. When we come back from this break, your phone calls. Also, is this a gospel that saves? He has a good news, which is more about us than about Jesus. Jesus fits in there as example, but can such a Jesus save sinners? Listen to this prayer from Martin Luther. Dear Lord, you know that I cannot come before you on account of my own self, my presumption, my worthiness. I would not even know how I might begin to pray. Nevertheless, I do come before you because you have commanded it and you earnestly encourage that we should call upon you. That is but one part of but one prayer in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, a Lutheran Book of Prayer. The book is $8.99 plus shipping and handling. For this devotional resource, call 1-800-325-3040 and ask for a Lutheran Book of Prayer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, 1-800-325-3040. For more information on the book, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, you'll find a Lutheran Book of Prayer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Dr. Gene Edward Veith. He's going to be one of the speakers at a Confessional Christian Worldview seminar this summer at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin. Dr. Veith, you're going to be talking about the new polytheism. What is the new polytheism?
It isn't just a matter of, well, you have your religion and I have mine. And, you know, we've had religious relativism for a long time. It doesn't really matter what religion that you follow. But now it seems like it's almost an affirmation of all of the different religions at the same time. And so affirming Christianity and Islam and Judaism and Hinduism and Buddhism as if they're all true. And so a recognition, a kind of mindset that is more towards the old polytheistic religions where there's Zeus and Athena and Hera and all the other gods and goddesses, so that Islam and Christianity and Judaism are all treated as true. And what we have is really a multiple religions with, in effect, multiple gods, all being affirmed. You really see it closely with the Roman Empire, the way the different gods came into the recognition. When the Romans would conquer another people, they accepted their gods. In fact, they had a big temple called the Pantheon of all gods, and all of the gods of the different peoples were enshrined and honored in this one temple of all the gods. When they conquered Egypt, they added the Egyptian gods. When they conquered Persia, they added the Persian gods. They honored all of the gods, and this was almost a model for them of how such a diverse empire could be brought in together. We will honor everybody's gods. Of course, the problem is when they brought in a religion that would not accept all the other gods as equally valid, a religion that insisted that there is only one God that we can acknowledge and worship, and that the others don't even exist, that was seen as a very intolerant religion that had to be persecuted. And, of course, that was Christianity.
Come here and meet Dr. Gene Edward Veith and Other Issues, Etc. regular guests at a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 26th through July the 2nd at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin. For more information, call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848, 1-800-577-4848, or go to our website and look for the Schwann Center logo, issuesetc.org, 1-800-577-4848. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the theology of Robert Schuller. Dr. Kim Riddleberger is our guest. Let's go straight back to the phones. Habib in Richmond, Virginia. Habib, thank you for waiting and welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, I hope your visitor reforms the half messages that are coming out from the Crystal Theater. But I want to ask him a question, if I may. Are you there?
Yes, Habib, go ahead.
How does Dr. Schuller manage to escape obvious passages in the Bible that tell you that his name shall be Jesus because he saves people from their sins? And if your sins be as crimson, they will be white as snow. So how is he honest? How is he being honest to the gospel message?
Habib, that is a tremendous question, and thank you very much. A question I probably should have posed during the course of our conversation with Dr. Schuller. Kim, your response.
Well, those are great questions. And it's obvious that Dr. Schuller is not interested in verses like that. When we had him on our show, same experience you had with him, Todd, Mike Horton asked him pointedly about preaching passages like that, and what do you do with passages from Paul? And Dr. Schuller made the distinction that so many people do between the message of Jesus that was loving and kind and the message of Paul that was harsh. So Dr. Schuller isn't interested in, because his grid is everything has to be positive, he's not interested in preaching the full counsel of God, and doesn't, and will tell you he's not interested in preaching the full counsel of God.
Let's talk with, let's see, Ed is calling from Maryland. Ed, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. This is the first time I've heard your show.
So great.
I'm a first-time caller. I used to listen to Schuller or watch him on TV all the time when I was younger. And one day I was watching him, and he said that he couldn't see anything inconsistent with evolution and Christianity. And my heart sunk, and I haven't watched him since. And now that I look back on the things that I learned from him when I watched him all the time, I think he's a false teacher. I think he's sending a lot of people to hell with positive attitudes.
Ed, thank you very much. Two thoughts there. First of all, the other doctrinal issues upon which, at least from Ed's experience, Schuller seems willing to bend or break with God's word. Your thoughts on that, Kim?
Well, I've not heard him address the question of evolution, but given his interest in pop psychology, that would seem to make perfect sense. And again, with Dr. Schuller, you know, you've got a guy who is not going to tell people the whole counsel of God. He's not going to distinguish between the law and the gospel and preach the passages that Habib mentioned that are so wonderful and clear in the gospel. He's going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account of that. And that's his business, and the Lord will deal with him as he will deal with me.
You know, I was looking through, I was doing some research for a recent article in the Issues Etc. journal, and came across a polling number, the specifics are not in front of me, wherein the general American population was asked what they think about themselves and what they think about God, and the vast majority of Americans believed two things. In fact, it's precisely what Schuller teaches. That is, they believe that they're sinners, but they also believed that God loves them for no particular reason, but loves them anyway, and that, you know, Jesus is just all right with me. God's fine with me. I don't have a beef with him. I don't see why he should have one with me. And it seems right in line with Schuller's message, Kim.
Yeah, it sure does. That statistics are bearing that out. You know, we live in a culture where people think they're fine with God because they're Americans, for Pete's sake. It's just unbelievable how our culture has just lost any sense. You know, in some senses, you know, when Schuller talks about shame being the problem, would that shame be the problem again? I think people are so indifferent toward things of the Lord, so indifferent towards God's Word, so indifferent toward the problem of sin. The problem I run into in the people that I encounter who are not Christians, is they don't have any shame for anything. Would that they were felt bad about something. I think people think they're fine just as they are, and I think that's one of the reasons that Schuller's message doesn't appeal to a younger crowd anymore. It appeals to people who were raised in the church, got turned off the church, want religious stuff without the bad news. It appeals to people like that. But people who've grown up, the boomers, the busters, the Gen Xers, who have never been in church or who are largely unchurched, they feel no shame for whatever they do. They can do whatever they want and feel nothing. So Schuller, you know, bounces off them like BB's off a battleship. He's not going to reach that group at all.
DB listens in St. Louis. DB, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. The thing I was thinking about is I've heard people mention, is there a connection between Word Faith and Schuller? And I think what I've been thinking about is I grew up in the liberal Presbyterian tradition, and the connection between all these isn't that they're really related in that there's some kind of theological center that they all share. It's that they're just all related in that they all put the focus on us, on me. And to me, Schuller's message or the liberal message or the Word of Faith message, none of that brings any real hope or comfort to me, because in the end, I know that I'm a sinner and I can never attain God's favor. And when I think about the good news, I think about, like, the first question of the Heidelberg Catechism, what is my only, you know, hope in life and death? And it's knowing that the cross of Jesus Christ, that what he did is and what he continues to do through his Spirit in my life is the only thing that saves me. That's the only good news. I don't want it to depend on me. And when you really understand the full effects of the law and the weight of my sin that drags me down to hell, the only good news is Jesus Christ, and it brings me great comfort to know the depth of my sin when I know the height of his majesty, of his forgiveness. And so I guess he thinks that he's building up people, and I'm just going to assume that he really honestly thinks he's building up people and bringing them comfort. But that doesn't bring me comfort when my pastor each week from the pulpit announces that if we are in Christ, then our sins are forgiven, and that we can trust in that promise. That's what brings me hope. That's what brings me good news.
DB, thank you very much. DB's insight there into perhaps in a backhanded way to Schuller's theology, it sounds, several times DB said that the message of Christ is the only good news. I wonder with Robert Schuller whether or not that's only part of the good news. It sounds like every time I wanted to talk about the cross, he wanted to go on and talk about something even better than the cross, that is, my potential, my faith in myself.
Isn't that something? I think you've got him dead to center. That's exactly what I heard in him as well. Yeah, he just isn't interested in a scandalous message. And if his audience, you know, if it's the transactional analysis, I'm okay, you're okay kind of thing, you know, that's Schuller's grid again. I'm all right. I'm, you know, living the life of possibilities realized. I'm living the be happy attitudes. You can too. And by approaching things that way, you miss the, I don't know about you, what I need to hear every Lord's Day, every Sunday, is I need somebody to stand and shout at me that I'm a sinner because of what because of the law, and I can't measure up. And boy, Christ fulfilled that perfectly, and his shed blood washes me clean, and his perfect righteousness covers me with a robe. That gives me hope. That all of a sudden, you know, I think that gets the kind of thing that Schuller's looking for. That gives me hope to go out and live a life of gratitude before God, knowing that my sins are forgiven. And I think Schuller, you know, misses the very message that creates the faith that gives people the hope for tomorrow that they need.
Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Julian is on the line. Julian listens in Minneapolis. Welcome.
Hi. I'd like to ask Pastor Riedelberger a question because he's a pastor of a Reformed church. I don't know what the worship style is at Dr. Schuller's congregation, but I go to a church where there's great Calvinistic Reformed preaching, very passionate preaching, the best I've ever heard. But when it comes to the worship style, particularly on Saturday night, because they have a number of meetings Saturday and Sunday, when it comes to the worship style on Saturday night, you have this blended worship where it's not even 50-50. You have 80% this modern style of worship and maybe 20% the old Reformed hymns. And those modern songs with the guitars and the drums, they just leave me cold. They don't point me to God at all. What is it, a problem with me? Is it my age coming through there, or what is it? Is it biblical, this kind of worship?
Julian, thank you very much. A little bit tangential to what we were talking about, but of course a very legitimate question, Kim.
Yeah, we can tie it to Dr. Schuller. I mean, if you've sometime turn on Sunday morning, watch Dr. Schuller's service, and you'll find a traditional reform service changed to fit the possibility thing. It's the worst of all possible worlds because you've got the traditional Reformed order of service minus pastoral prayer and some of those kind of things. All the words of the hymns are changed to possibility thinking, and you'll hear this great hymn, this great pipe organ, this great choir, and you know the hymn, you start to think, oh, I know that, great, a good Reformation hymn, and then it's, at the end of the day, Christ is missing, and it's a hymn about how good I am and how much I need more self-esteem, and you just can't believe it until you actually hear it. I pastor a church that uses the historic Reformed liturgy because I think the historic Reformed liturgy and our Psalter hymnal protects the congregation from me and protects the congregation from popular culture. And one of the best things you can read on this is our friend Mike Horton's book, In the Face of God, or his book on worship called A Better Way. And I would steer you, if you're a Reformed Christian, going to Reformed Church, I'd refer you to those things.
I would certainly recommend both of those books as well to you, Julian, and thank you very much for the call. We're going to a break, and when we come back from this break, more of your phone calls, your questions, your comments, and hopefully your emails as well as time permits. Before we go here, Kim, you mentioned before 9/11. You said Schuller his theology really falls flat in face of something like a 9/11. I don't know much about Garden Grove, but the Crystal Cathedral seems to be a place that oozes the American dream, that oozes everything that is, I can only use this word kind of, and I don't mean this in a completely derogatory way, but kind of kitsch Americana.
It's Orange County.
Yes, and I'm wondering whether or not any of that could work in the inner city, in South Sudan, where Christians are literally in fear for their lives and losing those lives for the sake of simply confessing Christ.
Yeah, sadly, Garden Grove is 12 miles from the L.A. County line. It doesn't work 12 miles away, much less in the third world. It's Orange County, white, upper-middle-class republicanism with Bible verses occasionally.
How much of that do you think has shaped Schuller's theology with only about 10 seconds?
Well, it's a prosperous county and a prosperous culture with prosperous people who want to hear a prosperous message. It fits perfectly, and it wouldn't work anywhere else.
Dr. Kim Riedelberger is our guest. We're talking about the theology of Robert Schuller. It strikes me, folks, that to the degree that those have drunk from the same font as Schuller, not necessarily taking their theology from Schuller and changed the practice of their church to fit the affluent suburbs, doesn't work elsewhere either.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you looking for a vacation this summer where you can relax, renew, and refocus? Well, I have just the opportunity for you. It's a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 26th through July the 2nd at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin. It's about 2 hours from Minneapolis. Not only will you have the chance to relax in the beauty and serenity of the picturesque Namekagon River, two private lakes, miles of hiking trails, and abundant wildlife, but you'll also have the opportunity to refocus and renew by listening to instruction from Issues Etc. regular guests Gene Edward Veith, Alvin Schmidt, and Angus Manouge. Now, for more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848. Ask for information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 26th through July the 2nd in northern Wisconsin, 1-800-577-4848. You know, one of the things that I found very interesting in our conversation with Dr. Robert Schuller earlier this week was the picture of Jesus that was portrayed there. Now, this is not unique to Schuller by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, Schuller's Jesus is, as far as I'm concerned, indistinguishable from the Jesus that is often preached in many American evangelical churches. It is a completely inoffensive Jesus. He is obsequious. He is loving. He is deeply affectionate. In Schuller's words, he did not mention sin, and he always took the positive approach. Schuller preferred in that interview to talk a lot about what attracts us to Jesus. The picture he painted, I would say Tom Hanks in sandals, Mr. Nice Guy. Kim, who is Schuller's Jesus?
Boy, that's a great example, Tom Hanks in sandals. Clearly, he's orthodox in terms of his Christology. There isn't anything he denies. He, as a historic Protestant, I mean, affirms the creed. The problem is, it's Jesus the possibility thinker. It's Jesus who utters the be happy attitudes. And he, as you know, when you preach through Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount ends with that awesome declaration, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's not good news. That's not good news to me. I'm a sinner, and man, I hear that, I'm condemned by that. And to turn that whole discourse, you know, of Jesus' words toward the religious people who thought they were righteous by their external conformity to the law, and to turn that into principles for living, you know, the be happy attitudes, happy, clappy, sappy kind of stuff, that just misses the mark. So it isn't that Schuller denies anything. It's that he turns Jesus into himself. And this is what the German liberals did throughout the 19th and the early 20th century, you know, and Trelch and the rest of these guys. You get a Jesus that looks very much like a 19th century urbane German. And the same is with Schuller. You get a Jesus that looks very much like Alan Alder, Tom Hanks in sandals. A nice guy, says some interesting, important things, pretty creative, pretty talented, and we ought to listen to him. And that's the Jesus you get.
When I mentioned that Schuller's Jesus functioned in his theology largely as an example, and that was based upon what Schuller had written in his latest book, Don't Throw Away Tomorrow, where in each and every case Jesus is presented as an inspirational example of overcoming negative circumstances. Even the death and resurrection is portrayed as Jesus kind of thinking his way out of a negative situation.
Mm-hmm.
Possibility thinking kind of stuff. He said, no, he's much more than an example. So, is the atonement still intact in Schuller's theology?
Well, it's there in terms of his categories. He doesn't deny what the atonement does. He's just not going to talk about it. And I don't know about you, at the end of the day, what's the difference between not denying it and not talking about it? My obligation as a minister of the gospel is to preach Christ and Him crucified. That is what I am ordained to do. And the minute I fail to do that, I'm failing to be faithful to my own ordination vows. I'm in the same general tradition as Dr. Schuller. He's in the Reformed Church in America, which is the oldest Reformed Church in the United States. And I know in his own ordination vows, that's what he was obligated to do as well. And I don't see him doing it. And that's the issue at the end of the day, isn't it?
Now, he said, look, most biblical commentaries, and then he talked about indoctrination in theology that he said really developed in the time when people took the negative approach to the Bible. I don't know if you would include Calvin and Luther in that company, taking a negative approach to the Bible, but it appears, in Schuller's thinking, that modern psychology has given us a new and vital insight into what the Bible really means.
Yeah, you need Carl Manninger to tell us what John and Paul are meaning if you listen to Dr. Schuller. But, you know, Schuller is very widely read in that field, and I'm trying to think back. You know, he went to Hope Seminary in Michigan. I'm wondering, you know, what his New Testament department was doing. The theologian was in vogue then was Karl Barth. And I don't know, you know, Barth, of course, being a universalist, would not fit with what Schuller's doing. Of course, you know, Barth's got everyone in heaven because of Christ being the elect man and taking away the sins of the world and so on. So I don't know where that comes from. It's something he's picked up from pop psychology, certainly not even from his own seminary tradition, his own education.
David has an interesting question, writing from Birmingham, Alabama. He says, I listen to the White Horse Inn every Sunday and love it. That should be good for you to hear, Kim.
Good.
Then he says, here's my question. Protestant theology is in a scary, superficial quagmire of cotton candy with Schuller, Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn, the Episcopal Church et al. Do you believe that our own Reformation will be forced by Catholic and Orthodox churches doing serious theology? In other words, is the favor about to be returned?
Makes a very good question. We know Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict XVI, is a first-rate Catholic theologian. We as Protestants are going to have to be on our toes. That may very well be the case. It may be that Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy force us to go back and be Protestants again. And, you know, that wouldn't be a bad thing. Wouldn't be a bad thing at all.
You mentioned, or I guess a caller mentioned early on in our conversation about even though Schuller may be typical of American Christendom 25, 30 years ago and more popular in those days, there still is very much that public face of the Christian church. If not Schuller's theology, what should be the public face of Christendom?
Well, boy, that's difficult. You turn Larry King, and not long ago Larry had Brian McLaren, and he had John MacArthur, and he had a number of evangelical leaders. And, you know, MacArthur is doing his best to open Scripture, and the others were not interested in Scripture. And you stop and think, boy, we're at a real disadvantage here, because at least Rome has a pope, a figurehead. The public face of Protestantism should be the local minister who's in his parish church in every city, every county in the United States, faithfully preaching God's word from an open Bible, baptizing the infants of that congregation presented by their parents, serving the Lord's Supper, binding the wounds of the brokenhearted, preaching Christ, instructing the congregation, the children in the faith. That should be the face of the Protestant church, and it's going to be a face that's going to be self-effacing by definition.
Finally, Kim, the one thing that I took away from our conversation with Robert Schuller was that his gospel, his good news, was God loves you anyway. Regardless of anything that you may be, God loves you anyway. Now, Scripture says God loves us in Christ. Is God loves you necessarily the gospel, the good news that sinners need to hear?
No, God loves you is not the news sinners need to hear. As you pointed out, it's God loves you in Christ, because apart from Christ, the wrath of God remains on you. And you know, again, it's a religion. Schuller's truncated gospel is a religion toward Americans who don't think there's anything wrong with them. They think they're fine just as they are. And Schuller's message is tailored to that particular audience. And yet, you know, as we know, Scripture says we're only guilty for what Adam did. We're guilty for our own actual sins. I need somebody to rescue me. I need somebody to pull me out of the pit I'm in and justify me and forgive me of my sins. And we're not getting that out of the Crystal Cathedral, sadly.
Here's our mailing address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Use either of those to receive a free complimentary copy of our next Issues Etc. journal, or to help support Issues Etc., a voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, by joining our Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly donor program. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 631.